God strings things together that were kind of put together independently, like this morning. As you might have figured out, something unique is going on. We're in Bible school this week, and the theme was the colossal coaster world. And so that's been the theme. And as the kids this week, they've been watching a video all week long that has shown a little boy who was dealing with his fear of the Vaporizer 3000. Did I get that right? The big roller coaster that he was, his fear of that roller coaster. And how they've tied that in to ultimately dealing with our fear as believers, and how we have power, and how we can have confidence through Christ. You see it over here on the wall. Depending on where you're sitting, you may not be able to see it, but that was the theme verse for this week. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." That has been taught in the lessons, in the music, in everything that went on. Then I thought about how this morning, as the youth come up here, they talk about what they've had to deal with this week, and going out and representing Christ and standing up for Him. Some of them something that they'd never done before. Some of them something that most of us have never done before. To go out into a strange place, talking to strange people, and offering to pray with them. Some of them standing up here this morning with a microphone in their hand, just dealing with that. Even the song that Kristen just sang talked about, "Lord, You are my defense." It just seemed to kind of be a running theme. And even getting the small children to come up here on the stage this morning and sing. We deal with all kinds of fear in our life today. We are surrounded with things that make us afraid. We live in a world like many of you are old enough. Some of our children don't even think twice about it, but many of you grew up in a time when you didn't lock your door, you didn't need to, and didn't think anything about it. You didn't have to worry. If you saw a stranger walking down the street, you didn't think anything about it. If someone knocked on your door, you went to the door. Or you just yelled, "Come on in." You didn't even go to the door. Today, if somebody knocks on your door, you draw up and you wonder who's there. Why is somebody knocking on my door? And Paul says to Timothy, he says that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. In particular, Paul is talking about not necessarily a fear of snakes, or a fear of heights, or a fear of water, or those kind of things. But Paul is talking about really what our young people have exemplified for us this morning, and what they've learned about during Bible school this week, is that God has not given us that that spirit of a better word might be for us, of being ashamed. We know that the Bible talks about that and tells us not to be ashamed of Jesus. And one of the ways that some of the new translations actually translate this passage probably fits a little bit better for the way most of us would think about it. It says that God has not given us the spirit of timidity. He hasn't made us timid. If we're timid about Him, if we're timid about our faith, then that doesn't come from Christ. And so this morning, I want to look at that passage as adults that the children have talked about all week, that our young people have in many ways demonstrated to us this morning, and shown us this verse played out, that we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to have a spirit of fear in our life. And in this passage, He gives us some resources. And one of the things that I want to say about this is, I look at this passage and think about what God is describing for us. He said God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And I think about resources kind of in two different ways. How many of you own a pair of jumper cables? Now leave your hand up just a second. How many of you know where they are? How many of them are in your car? Hands are slowly going down. How many of them are in the car you didn't drive today? They're in the car you left at home. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, slowly but surely. Yeah, that's kind of the way I own jumper cables. I own several sets of jumper cables. Not one of them are in my car. Yeah, not one of them. You know, if I get out there and my car won't start, I'm going to have to borrow your jumper cables. I have the resources. I would just have to go hunt the resources. Now, on the other hand, I think about resources, and some of you, this application, this illustration may not click with you, but for many people it will. I think more what Paul is talking about are resources like Batman. You remember Batman? You remember what Batman wear? You remember what he called it? His utility belt. Where did if you had Batman, you had his utility belt. He always had that utility belt with him. And that's what I think about when Paul talks about here, when he says that we don't have fear, we have power and love and sound mind. Those are things we shouldn't be keeping back in the garage at home that we can claim. These are three things that should be part of our life. They should be part of us everywhere we go. They are constant resources for us that we can put into play in our life. And let's be honest, there isn't a person in this room this morning that I'm not going to ask you to. I'd ask you to raise your hand about jumper cables, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this topic because I know the answer and I don't want to make it any worse. There is not one of us here, your pastor included, your Sunday school teacher included, your deacons included, who at some point in some place haven't wrestled with fear, with timidity, as the translations, or simply, let's just say it, of being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We've been put in a situation where we didn't stand up, we didn't speak up, we didn't witness, we didn't represent God. Not that we did anything necessary to bring shame, but we just kind of kept our mouth shut. I'm reminded of a guy that I worked with many years ago, and he had an old '68 convertible Camaro. Now it wasn't real, you know, it wasn't real sharp. It wasn't all cleaned up. It just got him where he needed to go. And I was in Faith one day, and everybody know where the big city of Faith is, right? I'm not talking about Bible faith. I'm talking about, I hope you have more faith than the size of the town of Faith, okay? I was standing there, and I looked up, and there's a wreck out in the street. And I immediately recognized that it's that old Camaro of Wayne's. And again, it was just, I mean, it wasn't cleaned up, fixed up. It was just a get-me-to-work car. And I looked up, and the odd thing was, I looked, and there's kind of a crowd gathered around, and I look, and Wayne's up in the crowd like this. You know, he's standing up in the crowd, what? And I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then I look, and Dana, his daughter, she's the one in the car, she's the one in the wreck, and Wayne's standing up there acting like he doesn't know her. All of us have at some point been kind of that way with Christ. You know, there have been an opportunity we could step up and say, you know what, I don't think that's right. We could take a stance. Maybe someone we work with was having a discussion about maybe homosexuality or abortion or some topic that was relevant, and there was a scriptural point we could make, and we've just decided we wouldn't say anything. All of us have wrestled with that. Why does that happen? Where does that come from? I think the first thing that we need to make clear as we look at just one simple verse, and I'm aware of what time it is, so we're going to move quick. I don't promise. We're going to move quick. I'll try. We're going to move quick, and I want you to see something that I think, first of all, is extremely important that you understand about this issue of fear or being ashamed or if you're real fancy and use the word timidity. Some of you are going to go home and look that one up. I had to. Where does that come from? Notice what Paul says to Timothy. Now, let me remind you real quickly of the circumstances. Timothy, in all likelihood, by the time he received this letter, Paul was in all likelihood dead. Paul had in all likelihood already been executed for his faith. This letter was written just several years after Nero had torched Rome. And I don't remember, know what you remember about your history, but Nero set Rome on fire, and I mean, this was such a raging fire that historians tell us that not just the wooden buildings burned up, but it gutted even the rock buildings. It just leveled the place. And everybody was of the opinion that Nero had set the fire, and they were blaming him. And Nero comes up, and he manages to twist the blame and push the blame on a group of people that everybody hated, the Christians. And so Christians are kind of the outcast, and the church is new. Timothy is young. Timothy is very young, and yet he is the leader of the church at Ephesus. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he's encouraging him. He's saying, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Step up and be the leader. Step up and be the man God has called you to be. And leading up to this verse, He says, I remember your family, Timothy. You've got a good upbringing. You've got a good family that taught you right. And then he tells him in verse 6, just before our text this morning, he says for him to stir up the gift that was in him. When he says to stir up, what he's talking about is like going to a campfire and the embers, the fire's dying out, but you stir it up and get the fire to roaring again. And he says, Timothy, stir that up in you. And don't be afraid to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to be the man that God has called you to be. Because, he goes on in this next verse, and he says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear. I want you to understand something very clearly this morning, what Paul says to Timothy here. When he says, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Notice this. Paul doesn't deny the realization. Paul does not deny the existence of fear. Paul doesn't say it's not there. Paul doesn't say it's not easy. Again, if I was to choose this morning and say, raise your hand if you've ever been afraid to represent Christ, if you've ever been afraid to stand up for the gospel, every person in here would say, at some point in time, I failed. At some point in time, I've missed an opportunity to witness. At some point in time, I've missed an opportunity to be the man, to be the woman that God has called me to be. Well, so Paul doesn't deny that happens. To say that doesn't happen would be foolish on Paul's part. It would be foolish on my part. But like the ice cream cone over here says, we got to face that fear. We got to realize that fear is there. Well, so if that fear is there, and Paul says God doesn't give it to us, where does it come from? Only one place left. It is Satan's purpose. Satan understands. Satan is fully aware. And this morning I want to talk particularly to those that know Christ as their Savior. Satan knows. He is more sure of this than many believers are. Satan knows that he cannot rob you of your salvation. He knows that he cannot take your salvation from you. That if you've accepted Christ and Christ has come to live in you, there is nothing Satan can do about that. But Satan can harass the daylights out of you. Satan can torment you. Satan can worry you. Satan can scare you and cause you to doubt. Satan can cause you to fear. Satan can cause you to be timid. Satan can cause you to waver and it may be something as simple as in the place you work, in the place you go to eat lunch, as something as simple as that if you were at home, you would bow your head and say a blessing over your food, and in the crowd you're in, you sit there and the food comes and you think, well, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy if I, because what happens? Most of the time they set the food down, whew, you know, people swoop on that food. Well, if I stop what I'm doing for a moment and I say a blessing and thank God for this food, people at this table are going to look at me like I've lost my mind. Where'd that come from? You think God minds you thanking Him? Certainly not. Well, that came from Satan. That fear, that timidness, that option to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, that's what Satan wants. He can't take your salvation from you, but he can certainly rob you of the joy. And so Paul says, Timothy, whatever it is, that fearfulness you're feeling of standing up and being the man, answering the call that God has placed on your life, he said, that's coming from Satan. Now, I want you to understand, fear is real. We have certain fears protect you. You know, there are only, understand, you need to know this, there are only two fears you're born with. Only two come naturally. The rest of them you figure out on your own. The first fear you come with naturally is the fear of loud noises. You know, you walk into your baby's room, that baby's laying in that crib, and you walk in and go, house is on fire. You know, little baby's going to go, yeah, he doesn't care. You walk in and you got a little bit, you go, there's monsters under your bed. Don't do that, by the way. There's monsters under your bed. Baby's going, he doesn't care. You know, there's snakes in the room. He doesn't care. Yeah. Matter of fact, you know as well as I do that in all likelihood, if there were snakes in the room and you took that baby out of that crib and put that baby in the floor with those snakes, the baby would try to play with the snakes. They don't have that fear. Most of you have grown out of that. Yeah. We have two fears. The fear of loud noises and the fear of being dropped. That's it. That's what you come with naturally. You walk into a small child's room and you scream, they'll scream. That's just the way it works. You're holding that baby and you do it like that. And don't do that. I got to, any more in this day and age of liability, I got to make sure I offer disclaimers. Don't do that. You do that and that baby's going to scream. But you can tell them there's monsters, there's dogs, there's fire. They don't care. Because we only have two. We've learned the rest of them. Now let's be honest. Some of them are for our own good. Some of them are for our own protection even. I remember, to this reason, David's standing up here playing the guitar this morning. And the reason David made it to this age to be able to play the guitar is because when he was really little, his grandma, in her infinite wisdom, some of y'all may not like this, you sent your kids to the beach with them, she took David and there was a squirrel that was run over in the road, and she stopped, backed up to open up the door and said, "See that squirrel? That's what'll happen to you if you play in the road." And it worked. Look at him. It worked. Some fear is good. Some fear is healthy. Some fear is good. Matt, you're afraid of Valerie. It keeps you safe. But some fear is good. But the fear that keeps you from standing up and being the man, the woman that God calls you to be, that comes from the devil. You need to know that. And if no other reason, the little bit of competition, the competitive nature you have in you, you ought to say, you know what, I'm not going to let the devil win because I got a utility belt. I want to take just a few moments and look at the three things, really simple, that Paul says to Timothy. Here's what you got to rely on. Here's what you've got to deal with to get over your fear. Here's what you have, these may not help you with your fear of heights. They may not help you with your fear of snakes or whatever else. But these are three things that Paul says you've got in your utility belt that will help you deal with your fear of being the man, the woman that God calls you to be. First one he says, the first resource that he talks about that God provides for us is power. Power. Now, when we think about power, that conjures up a lot of images in our mind. Conjures up a lot of ideas. We think about the electricity, the power that's turning on the lights. We think about the electricity, the power that runs the air conditioner. We think about the power that is in a tractor engine, a train engine that would pull a lot of weight. But Paul is very specific here in the way this is worded. When Paul says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. When you take that, and Timothy would have seen this very clearly as he received that original letter, Timothy would have understood something that perhaps we don't see in our translation the way it reads to us. What Paul was saying very specifically was, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but the power to overcome that fear. Not just, for us when we see that. In fact, if I was so inclined and I was retranslating the Bible, that would be the way that I would translate that verse, because that is specifically what Paul is saying in that passage when he says he didn't give us fear, but he gave us the power to overcome that fear. You've heard some of these people up here this morning, some of our young people, even some of their leaders, who stood here this morning. Tanya, by the way, she doesn't know it, but she has earned a new nickname. She is now Vanna. Because I heard them in that presentation say that Tanya was walking around with a tray of prizes. So she's the Vanna White of Poplar Grove. She's walking around with a tray of prizes. I know Tanya well enough to know that, and I was watching to see her knees knock. Just being up here this morning, I know how difficult. So some of these young people, the youth. Now my mother, it didn't faze her. Ann can act like she was scared all she wanted to. Ann wasn't scared. We had to make Ann quit. Until Ann, that was enough. Sit down. But some of these young people, that's probably one of the first times Tanner's ever stood up and spoke in front of a crowd like that. For them to walk up here and to do that, for Brittany and Malia to walk into a rest home and to sing in front of a group, it's one thing to sing here, but it's another thing altogether to go to South Carolina, walk into an assisted living, and break out in a song in front of a bunch of people. Because here's what you pretty much know. You can stand up in front of this crowd, and they've seen you grow up, and you can miss every note in it, and they're going to come up and say, "You did good, baby." Because they know if nothing else, Rod's a big old fella. If you insult Brittany singing, he's going to be mad. And Malia's daddy ain't no little fella. But out there in public, you walk into that rest home, and I don't know if you've ever preached or sung in a rest home, they'll tell you if you mess up. They'll let you know. I'm going to tell you something, the bravest thing they did. Some of y'all think they're kidding. That was play bingo with them folks. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what.
Yeah, if you don't believe it, some of you here, y'all remember Richard Ramsey. Nice, calm, easygoing Richard Ramsey. Don't break out the bingo board at the rest home. Oh, no. Richard would get mad if he didn't win. He'd go back to his room. Yeah, listen. Yeah, but they, what welled up in them? Yeah, I remember several years ago now being over at Hickory Grove for an evangelism training event. And people had come from everywhere to learn this. What some of them didn't know was when they got there, at the end of this event, they were going to break them up and send them out in small groups. We've had some people do this. Diane went down to Spartanburg, and she's been part of this training. Tommy Carroll, I went over here and they broke us up, and they were sending us out in North Charlotte. To knock on doors, 3x3. I don't even like riding through North Charlotte, let alone get out, you know, and walk through. Had one lady who'd come to that training one. She found out that she was going to be asked to go out into the neighborhood and knock on doors. She went out and got in a church van and locked herself in. She didn't come to, you know, she was done. Take me home, you know. But the rest of the group wasn't ready. Well, lo and behold, eventually, I don't even know what train, because I didn't know any of this originally. I didn't find this out till later. At the end of it, we were giving testimonies about telling what God had done, what we saw as we actually went out. And this young lady come up and told her story. She said, listen, I went out and locked myself in the van. I wasn't going. Now, I came to learn something. I didn't come to go out into the streets of Charlotte. And she went on to tell about how she had went out and how God had opened doors for her to share the faith. What had happened? She found the power to overcome the fear. Paul says to Timothy, I know there's fear. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. Listen, some of you here this morning, Archie goes out every day, and I won't never forget one time Archie telling me, I don't know if y'all know what Archie does or not, but Archie goes out, and one of the things he does is new businesses that are opening up. He has to go up and inspect them and make sure they meet the fire code to open. And I don't know if Archie remembers this, but he told me one time that the city gave him a paper that he had to give to these people that said, how'd I do? And he said, you know, I just told them they got to spend $20,000 more before they can open up. How do you think I did? You know. And I would be willing to guess Archie could stand here and tell you he's been cussed and fussed and everything else doing his job. I'll guarantee you these times, Tommy running his construction business, there are a lot of times he could cut corners and do things that might be contrary to what God has called him to be. And sometimes that may even be the difference in getting a job because somebody else bids and cheats and lies. I couldn't help but think, my mama talking about cheating, playing bingo. If they didn't know she cheated, they took her to play putt-putt, they found out for sure. Listen, there's a lot of opportunity every day for every one of us to have fear, to be timid when it comes to standing up for Christ. Paul says, but God gave you the power to overcome it. Here's what I really like about this verse. If you read this and you look at all the way, and I don't have time this morning to go into the Greek of it and the way it's laid out, but here's what Paul says. Paul says the fear is done. Fear is done and the power is yours. The fear is done and the power is yours. He doesn't say the power's in the garage somewhere. He said the power is yours. Paul says God gives us the power to overcome fear and being timid to be the man, the woman that God has called us to be. He says not only does He give us the power, but He gives us passion. Look what he says if you go on this verse. He said not only of power and of love. He said, now what in the world does love have to do with fear? Let me ask you a question. In an ideal situation, are you afraid of your mother? Now, again, there are times when all of us sometimes are. Jason, I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about, you know, yeah, exactly. I know, I'm with you. You know, you're an only child. Don't hand me that junk. You've never had to be afraid. You're the biggest, boldest, braddest I've ever seen. Next to Archie. You know, listen, in case y'all don't know, there are more only children. You're surrounded by more only children in here this morning than you can shake a stick at. There's a bunch of us, and we are fine. Okay? Yeah, tell them, Scott. Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of us. You know, but let me explain something to you. What Paul is saying is, he says, you know what? We have the love of God in our heart. you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He said, you know the agape love. You know that selfless love. I don't have to be afraid of what the world thinks of me because I know what God thinks of me. I don't have to be worried about whether or not the world approves of what I think, what I believe. Only thing I have to be concerned about is the God who loves me. That's the one that I've got to be concerned about. You may not like my testimony. You may not like what I preach. You may not like what I believe. As long as my God loves me, as long as my Father loves me, that's all that really matters. And Paul says, He didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of love, to know that the love of God lives in us. You know what John says in 1 John? He says, perfect love casts out fear. I want to tell you something. The Word of God tells me this morning, fear can't live where love lives. Fear has to pack its junk and get out when love moves in. When we know the love of God in our heart, we can go about our life and say, you know what? I think about these men and women who go over and give their life to the mission field. I think about even some of our young people today that as they went out the 2 weeks ago, they went out and they walked up to people on the beach and said, I want to give you a glass of lemonade in Jesus' name. Can I pray with you about something? Here's what really mattered. It wasn't what you thought of them as their parents. It wasn't what we thought of them as the church. It wasn't what everybody else thought about them. It was what God thought of them. And the sooner we understand that in our life, as Brittany and Malia sang a while ago, I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to worry about if the world approves. I don't have to worry about those things. All I've got to do is worry about whether or not my Father's pleased. If He's happy. If my Father who hung the stars in the sky, my Father who causes the sun to shine and the world to spin, if He's happy, I don't care what Tommy thinks. That broke Tommy's heart, didn't it? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Listen, Paul says we don't have to be timid because God loves us. We don't have to be afraid because God loves us. Let me tell you something about being an only child. You may not like me, but my mama does. See there, I got one this morning. You may just listen, and she may talk about me like a dog, but you better not let her hear you do it. Today's an advantage to having your mama in the church you pastor. I don't have to defend myself. I just say, get them, mama. Yeah. Guarantee it. I think about, we was talking about Eileen this week. I think about Tommy. I don't know why Eileen thought Tommy walked on water, but she did. Ain't no way he walks on water, I do. You know. Listen, here's reality. Well, when it comes right down to it, I want you to like me. I want to be your friend. But when it comes right down to it, here's what I got to make sure of. There's not but a hand. One of the good things about being an only child, a mama who's an only child, I don't have a whole lot of people I got to worry about really close. All I got to worry about is make sure God's happy. I don't have to be afraid of you. I don't have to be afraid of what the world thinks. I don't have to be afraid of what laws has passed. What I've got to be sure of is that I'm the man that God has called me to be. The Savior's provision, power, passion, and finally notice what He says, and of sound mind. He says He's given us purpose. Timothy, number one thing you've got to be concerned about is being the man God called you to be. Doing the things God called you to do. I would venture to say every one of us here in some way, form, or fashion have had an experience with someone who was under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or both. And unfortunately, many times what happens is when you're around that kind of person, they turn into Urkel. You remember Urkel off the TV? You remember Urkel? When they sober up, they say something like this. Did I do that? Yeah. Go ahead, David. Yeah. Did I do that? They do things under the influence of the alcohol or drugs that they would never do otherwise. Sometimes their personality improves. Let's just be honest. There's some folks who get nice when they get drunk. There's some people who get mean. There are really nice people who drink and get mean. There's really mean people who drink and get nice. Some people, the best thing they do is pass out. You know, just leave us all alone. But they say and they do things that ordinarily they wouldn't have done. Because they're not thinking clearly. Well, that's exactly what Paul says here to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you don't have to be afraid because as long as you operate, God has given you power to overcome that fear, the love, the passion of God, and a purpose. And that purpose is to exercise and to use the mind of Christ. You know what? And it's almost cliche now. Those bracelets you used to see everybody. You see everybody walk around with, what would Jesus do on her? One of my favorite stories about the what would Jesus do story, bracelets and movement, was the convenience store that got broke in and somebody stole a big rack full of what would Jesus do jewelry. Pretty sure he wouldn't have took the what would Jesus do jewelry, I believe. You know what? Timothy was young. Young. When he was leading this church. Church was young. Timothy had his hands full. There were people in that church who were saying, who is that little whippersnapper that thinks he's going to tell us what to do? Tell us about God. Paul says, Timothy, you live out the purpose. You make your decisions with the sound mind that God gave you, and you don't have to be afraid of what the world thinks. You don't have to be afraid of what anybody else will say. You operate with a sound mind. God has given us power to overcome that fear. I hope some of you here have experienced that at some point in your life. I've told you the story before, and part of it I'm ashamed of. I'm not going to tell you of coming down the elevator with a young man in China and eventually getting to the place where he looks at me and says, are you a Christian? And I had just heard before we got there of a pastor and his wife were there who had been arrested, and they allowed the pastor to go to try to raise some money, and while he was going to raise the money to pay the fine or whatever, the wife was executed. And somebody walks up to me and says, are you a Christian? I'd been told that beware that everywhere you are, anywhere you are, at any time, there is in all likelihood listening devices. You're probably not because you're nobody. But be aware that all over China, everything is monitored. And some guy walks up to me in the middle of a lobby and says, are you a Christian? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm rolling through my options. And I'm not going to tell you for a minute I didn't start to go, no, I'll blow. The thought crossed my mind. It works for some folks. He asked me that in English. I started to go, hing, ting, tang, like I spoke Chinese, like I didn't understand nothing he said. There's all kinds of thoughts ran through my mind. How do I, I'm looking around at the guard, what's the deal here? And somewhere, and I promise you, it wasn't from within me. Somewhere within me, something just welled up and said, tell him yes. And I told him yes. And he said, me too. Good to meet you. Oh, well, give me a minute, brother. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not like Paul. I'm not going to deny the presence of fear. But I'm going to tell you that somewhere from somewhere I didn't know I had, the power of God welled up and said, tell him yes. I hope you've had something like that happen to you. So sometime in your life, you've experienced the power of God. Like some of these young people have talked this morning. Some of their leaders have talked this morning about how they didn't think they had it. They'd never done anything like that before and didn't know how they were going to get through it. But somehow the power of God welled up in them. And they didn't have to be afraid. They didn't have to be timid. Because the power of God lives in you. Because God loves you. Because God has given you a sound mind. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to be afraid of what this world thinks. I want to tell you something. I have not forgotten to this day. I could take you to the very spot of the night I was ordained. My grandfather stood in that church at along about this place, and I sat about where Archie did and looked at me and said, Jimmy, I believe in your lifetime you will see Christians persecuted. And I don't mean made fun of. I mean persecuted like New Testament persecuted. And I remember sitting there at the time thinking, you've lost your mind. I don't think that anymore. I don't believe that anymore. I believe it could happen any day. It's growing and it's becoming, but we don't have to be afraid. God has given us the spirit of power and of passion and purpose. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I know we've went kind of long, but I believe God's brought it all together for a reason. I believe He's strung everything together, every element of our service this morning, for a purpose. To remind us we live in a difficult time. We live in a hard age to be a Christian. Some of you could stand up and tell of stories that just in recent days in your life where you've took a stance for Christ, where you've stood up for Jesus, where you've stood up for what God leads you to do, His will for your life, and people looked at you and talked to you like you had lost your mind. You're here today and you say, Lord, I want to have that power, that passion, that purpose. I want to be able to stand strong for You. Lord, I don't want to ever be found ashamed. I don't want to be timid. I want to be bold. I want to be like those New Testament apostles, that they took notice of them, that they had been with Jesus. I want to be like those three Hebrew boys that looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, we're not careful in how we answer You. We will not bow at the feet of Your idol. God, I want that kind of courage. I want that kind of faith. You need to come this morning and kneel and say, Lord, give me that faith. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You've never accepted Him into your heart. Today is the day. Overcome that fear. Step out from where you are. And you come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can come to know Christ. You're here today and you've been saved. You know Christ living in your heart. And you want to make this your church home. You want to become a member of this church. Whatever God leads you to do today, the altar is open. As we stand this morning,